This is Living the RV Dream, episode 55, for Friday, May 11th, 2018.
I'm riding with my RV.
My RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, yes, hello, happy campers, free in my RV, that is the sentiment, and welcome one more time to the podcast. I am your host, Robert Morales, and we travel around the country, towing a small travel trailer, and part-time RVers. I am a full-time YouTuber and podcaster, I guess, now, and now for about a year, it feels like yesterday. It's been a great run so far, and in the near future I'm going to start doing a couple of interviews and stuff like that. I have some stuff lined up for you guys, and I'm sorry I missed last week. I actually posted a rewind episode, one of the first interviews that I did with Robert and Jessica of Exploring the Local Life. A very nice couple. They travel with two children, and they're homeschooling, and they have this unschooling website and concept. It's very cool. You should check them out. They have a blog, and they are on YouTube, and very cool. Yeah, the last week I missed it because I had just returned. Well, not just returned, but I was still with the hangover of my 2 week trip to Kentucky, which you will see on my YouTube channel soon at some point. But I traveled for a change with my mom, so it was quite different, but we saw a lot of places. We went to Chattanooga, as I've told you in previous episodes. We went to Louisville. I was there 2 weeks before the Derby, so I was able to watch to witness the thunder over Louisville. And then we went to Lexington, which is what I talked about in the episode 2 weeks ago, and we visited a few places. Actually, I was pleasantly surprised by Lexington. And then on the way back south, I have been to the Smoky Mountains twice, but I had never actually been to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. So I stayed there at the KOA in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And Gatlinburg, you know, it's a tourist trap, but it's at least they have very good customer service everywhere. And as far as tourist traps go, this is definitely one of the better ones. And of course, the backdrop of the Smoky Mountains. And of course, we went up to Newfound Gap and to the base of Clingman's Dome. You know, my mom is elderly, so we were not able to climb all the way to the top. But still, the landscape is beautiful. From there, you can even see Fontana Lake, which is quite far away, a little bit far away. That's what happened in the last week. And this week, actually, I started making preparations for my next trip, which is going to be in June. And we're going overseas for the first time since 2015, which was 3 years ago. We went to London and Paris then. And this time we're going to Finland. And a friend of mine, a Finnish friend, he owns an RV rental place, and he offered me, you know, an RV. I'm really looking forward to dumping the cassette toilet. That's gonna be a new thing, and you know, to see how European RVs are. I started doing my research, you know, what the typical food that I should try to eat, and you know, the drinks and basic, you know, places, what to do. Etiquette, all that kind of stuff that you have to. And I already made my reservation at it's called Rastila Caravan something. It's in the outskirts of Helsinki, Finland, which is the capital city, Helsinki. And that's also going to be a new experience. How you know, a European campground, how they function, all that. It's going to be fun, and you'll be the first to know, because of course, the videos will take a while for me to edit them, but I will probably do a podcast episode or two. I will record them over there on location. So that's yeah. I have to take all my gear, or maybe I'll do them on the portable setup. We'll see, because you know I like to travel with only carry-on luggage, And some of this stuff, you know, it's bulky. Anyways, without further ado, let's go into the mail. And we have only one email this week that I could find. You know, it's I'm a little disorganized, but this one comes from Kristen Davidson, and she says, "I found your YouTube channel by accident one day and love them. When you go to New England trip, stop at Overton's in Norwalk, Connecticut. It's a little shack on the harbor that has the best fried clams. And I love clams, especially, and I love fried food, so I'm sure that's going to be awesome. Also, if you stop in New Haven and want pizza, plan sometime if you want, and stop at Frank Pepe's. There is always a line out the door, but well worth it. Thanks for the great videos and commentary. Keep up the good work, and I will definitely add these two places to my New England travel planner, because I am actually doing both trips simultaneously. I'm planning my Finland trip and my New England trip, which is not only going to be New England, but that's what I'm calling it. Let's call it the Northeast trip, because I plan to visit some stuff along the way before New England. In fact, I'm going to start in Hershey, Pennsylvania, at the RV show. And I'll tell you all about it in a future episode, but I do plan to go into Canada and return south when the weather forces me south, or if anything else forces me south, maybe I'll return. Anyways, I usually have a destination of the week, and this week is very self-serving. It's the two videos that I'm publishing this week, because I don't think I have told you guys about my adventures in New Mexico. And if you follow my YouTube videos, which you probably do, you know my last video was Route 66. Well, not my last video. If you follow me on YouTube, you've already seen the Santa Fe video. But I arrived in New Mexico through Route 66 there at the visitor center. I wanted to see too much. And of course, I arrived in Albuquerque at night, which is not always optimum, but it's not my preferred way. But I had made the reservation at the KOA, and they were very nice. You know, the KOA, they usually leave outside a package for you with your site, and they gave me the first site right next to the office, so that was perfect. And by the way, fully recommended. It's in this town called Bernalillo. And it's just north of Albuquerque. It's called the North Albuquerque Bernalillo KOA. By the way, Bernalillo with two L's. You know, in New Mexico, a lot of the names of places and things are pronounced like you would in Spanish. So if you see a double L, it's not pronounced like an L. It's like in English, you would say Bernalillo, but it's Bernalillo. I hope you understand what I mean, but a lot of the stuff, I went to this site, it's the New Mexican Encyclopedia or something like that, it's online, because I was researching, you know, how to pronounce names, especially when it comes from a different language, like in Spanish, sometimes it has several pronunciations, and in New Mexico, the preferred pronunciation is as you would in Spanish, so go figure. And And it makes sense, because it's New Mexico used to be part of old Mexico at one point. So anyway, Santa Fe, New Mexico, I arrived in the morning, and that was not the best time to arrive. I should have done Santa Fe in the afternoon. This was my plan. I wanted to go to Santa Fe in the morning and then Taos Pueblo in the afternoon. And what happened? By the time I finished with Santa Fe, it was too late to go to Taos Pueblo, so I only saw Santa Fe, and not at its prime, because usually I think everything becomes more lively in the afternoon. I went in the morning, and the plaza was pretty much dead. I went to the Loreto Chapel, which is actually, according to the literature, was the first Gothic church west of the Mississippi, and it's pretty cool. It has this staircase that they call it the miraculous staircase. It's just a spiral staircase that doesn't have a pole in the middle. So, I mean, it was a feat of engineering at the time, and definitely the craftsmanship, the wood craftsmanship is amazing, especially for the time. But it's very cool. It's a cool little church. They charge you $3 to see it. They don't really have service nowadays. It's just like the museum, and they do like weddings and stuff like that. I also visited the St. Francis Cathedral, which has officially a very much longer name. But it was a nice big church, you know, as you would expect. A free entrance because, you know, they do have service there regularly. And it was very nice. I also went to this street called Canyon Road. And there's back-to-back art, you know, art galleries and stores and street art all over the place. I mean, if there would have been people on the street, it would have been a lot better. But the city was completely deserted. And this was on a February morning, and I want to say 10 a.m., you know, you would expect some people on the streets, but no one. It was like ghost town. Anyways, I also went to the oldest house, and I've gotten conflicting. By the way, it's not the oldest house in Santa Fe. It's the oldest house in the entire United States of America. And I got two conflicting reports. Some people say that part of the structure actually dates back to the 1200s. So it's an 800... Is it 800? Yeah, I'm sorry, my arithmetic is a little off today. 800-year-old house. But, you know, the three rings actually put it back to only 1646 AD. So, still, it's the oldest house in the United States, according to them, and I'll take it. I also visited the Capitol building. I didn't visit it because they were having, like, some band rehearsal inside. But it's also called the Roundhouse, and it's pretty it's pretty neat. It has a bunch of art outside, and it's the New Mexican capital, because Santa Fe is the capital city, so that was pretty nice there. I also what else did I see? I ate at this place the spiciest food I've ever had. I mean, that was hot. I was crying, tears coming down my eyes, because I made the mistake of they didn't ask, but it came with the red chilies, and apparently the red chilies are the real spicy ones. So I had this carne adobada, which is like this, you know, it's like this meat with this red sauce with red chilies, and then the next day when I ate in Albuquerque, they explained to me, no, the red chilies are the real hot ones. And the green ones are milder, but if you really want to have it the New Mexican way, you have to ask for Christmas, which means that you get red chilies and green chilies at the same time. So the next time I'm gonna get that. Anyways, as I was leaving the place, it was starting to come back to life, and that was early afternoon, and there was a mariachi band playing at the plaza. Not a full mariachi band with trumpets and stuff. It was like two girls, one with a violin and one with a small guitar. I'm not sure the name of the instrument, but they were really good, actually. And some people have asked me, why didn't you visit any of the Native American museums? And there are a plethora of museums in this place, especially one that is right across the street from the cathedral, which is the Museum of Native American Modern Art, that is supposed to be really, really fantastic. And they had the governor's mansion, which is the oldest continuously occupied public building in the United States. And they also had a museum inside. And I'm like, to be honest, I wasn't in the museum mood, and I like certain museums when it's something like, for example, one of my favorite museums in the world is the Space and Air Museum in DC, you know, part of the Smithsonian. And some museums, if it is something that really interests me, I really like. Sometimes if I'm just going to look at paintings, like, and some people are going to hate me for this, but in Amsterdam, I went to the Van Gogh Museum, and I'm like, I could see all these paintings on the website, and I'm going to get pretty much the same effect, unless it's like a huge painting, like something by Goya, you know, at the Prado Museum in Madrid. But I don't know, sometimes if it is something that I could learn by reading a book or looking at a picture, to me, sometimes museums are a little bit of a waste of time. It depends on the museum. If I can touch a moon rock or see the actual Apollo moon landing capsule, yeah, by all means, I'm there. But, you know, it all depends, really. And it also depends on my mood. And when I was in Santa Fe, I was not in the museum mood. So that's why I didn't visit any of the museums. By the way, I was going to go to Taos, but it's really like over an hour drive. And by the time I was going to arrive there, it's going to be too late. So I didn't go to Taos. And that I do want to see, like an ancient pueblo. So the next time I go there, I want to visit a couple of the ancient pueblos for sure. Taos being one of them. So now I decided to go to this place called the Tent Rocks, which is in the mountains. I didn't do much research, and this is February. There's still snow up there, and the road to this it's a special, it's a rock formation in the mountains that look like a teepee kind of. It's called the Tent Rocks. And part of the road is a dirt road, probably not very well maintained, and probably at this time of the year full of snow. So yeah, it was closed, so I couldn't see it. But you know, I passed by Los Alamos, which is the place where they, you know, the Manhattan Project, where they invented and tested the first nuclear weapons, the first atomic bomb. So, you know, it was neat to see it from the road, but I missed a lot of stuff. At least I saw the pretty mountains and the scenery and the snow, and that was enough for me at that point. I drove at 9,000 feet, which is the highest my old Kia Sorento has been. So that was cool. We saw this valley called Valle Grande. And then again, I'm pronouncing it as you would in Spanish, because I think that's how you... otherwise, there will be Valle Grande. And maybe that's the way. Just comment. It's not a video. Comment below. Send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, if you know the correct pronunciation. Then on the next day, I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I still haven't finished editing that video. I'm more or less a little more than halfway. But I enjoyed Albuquerque a lot, especially because I was a fan of the Breaking Bad TV series and the prequel Better Call Saul. And what I did the first day in the morning, when I noticed that everything was closed or dead, like the same as in Santa Fe, I decided to do a self-guided tour myself of some of the Breaking Bad locations. And what I had done, I had saved them on my Google map. So I went to the location of the restaurant, you know, the Los Pollos Hermanos, which is actually called, in real life, it's called Twisters. And it's a local chain fast food. You know, they have them in Colorado and New Mexico, and they sell burritos and burgers, and they seem to be pretty good. I didn't want to eat there because I wanted to eat somewhere else. But then I went to, if you saw the series, otherwise, I went to Walter White's house, and I went to the car wash where he used to work, and then he owned actually to laundry money for money laundering for his business, and then the Hank's house, which was his brother-in-law, Skyler's brother. Anyways, I saw that, and then I went to Old Town, and it looks kind of similar to Old Town Santa Fe, to be honest. It has like this, perhaps not as grand as Old Town Santa Fe, but it has all the same adobe-style architecture constructions, you know. Old, it has the oldest... The oldest building in all of Albuquerque, which is the church and right next to the plaza, you know, typical old town. And there I ate at this place called the Church Street Cafe, which is right behind the church. And it sits at a house that has been, it's the oldest, pretty much the oldest house in the whole town that is privately owned, and is still owned by the same family. And they used to live there until like I forgot exactly the date, but it was like the 1990s, and when the old lady Ruiz was their last name, when she passed away, they converted into a restaurant. It is a really good restaurant. I had like the sampler that comes with a tamale and an enchilada, and I think it was a chili relleno, and that was an outstanding meal, of course, with a local IPA, because, you know, that's how I roll. IPA, by the way, is if you're not into beer, IPA is like one of the latest trends in beer. It stands for India Pale Ale. And if you know me, you know that's my beer of choice. And what else did I do? I went to the Museum of Nuclear Science and History, and this museum, like, like the one that I mentioned before, the Air and Space Museum in Washington. That it's one of those museums that I was really looking forward to. I'll be honest, I was a tiny little bit disappointed because maybe my expectations were like, ooh, I'm going to see the atomic bomb. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's nice. It tells you the history of first of all, the research that went into discovering the atom, you know. Then they have a section about the Manhattan Project, and they have a replica of the original bomb, and which is called the gadget, and the limousine where they used to transport all the scientists. And then they have a section about nuclear technology in medicine and for power generation. And they even have a section about, you know, in pop culture. And they have like the, for example, the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and they have the flux capacitor, which of course, according in the movie, it originally ran by plutonium, and then when they went to the future, they figured out a way to make it run on bananas and on banana peels and trash. But anyways, that's the movie. And then, of course, they have an area outside where they have a B-52, you know, all these planes. I think they even have a Russian MiG, a MiG-15, and they had the F-21. There are a bunch of planes, and I don't recall right now exactly, but all kinds of intercontinental ballistic missiles, and they had a Nike missile. Very cool, very cool outside. My expectations were just so high about all this. And then I ended my day and I haven't edited this part of the video, so it's not as fresh in my memory as other things. I went to the Sandia Peak Tramway, which is one of the top things to do in Albuquerque, really. And if you can catch it at sunset, I hear is amazing. I didn't want to catch it at sunset because of the crowds and all that. But it was pretty cool. And up there is like 20 degrees lower than at the ground level. And there's even snow up there. There was even snow up there back in early February. And it was cool, right? And they, you know, as you go up, they have the guide that gives you the explanation of all the trails and everything that you're seeing, and all the little peaks and mountains and desert in the distance and all that. So that was really, really cool. It was a good way to end my day there at Albuquerque. By the way, if you stay at that KOA that I mentioned at the beginning, they have a brewery. Not in the property, right next door, but they communicate. They have a door in the back of the campground that just goes into the brewery, and they have some light, you know, food, traditional stuff like a tortilla. Was it called the tortilla pie or something like that? And they have some local brews there as well. So if you stay there at the KOA and you like beer, don't forget to go to that brewery. Now for a little bit of news, which is always good to have here in the podcast, although by tomorrow it's going to be old news. But as I record this on Thursday night, President Trump is actually visiting Elkhart, Indiana, which is, as probably you all know, the capital of the RVing industry. And apparently Elkhart is going through an economic boom. And it's not surprising because the entire RVing industry is going through an economic boom. RV sales are up. They've been up for the past couple of years, quarter after quarter. If gas prices start going up, I don't know if that's going to slow down or not. But right now, Elkhart County has a 2.2% unemployment rate, when about 10 years ago they had 20. So that's right now they're the fifth best in the whole country, and pretty much everybody who is capable of working can find a job there. So of course, President Trump is there campaigning for the primaries. So there you go. You know, it's not surprising at all. And politics aside, it is actually nice to see some areas of the country that have been depressed for a while coming back to life. You know, good economy and jobs for everybody. Now, for Nomad News, before Nomad News, I have the tip of the week for you guys. And I've done this before, and I just found online that somebody has also thought of this. So obviously, it's not my original idea, but here's the article that I read. The best time to empty the black tank, the sewer, you know, the dirty stuff, is when it is nearly full. That way, there is enough liquid to flush all the solids from the tank. Emptying a partially full tank may leave the undissolved material in the tank. So if you must dump before a long voyage, fill the tank with water first and then dump the tank. And be sure to monitor the tank closely as you add water. Don't just walk away to take a phone call, you know, for example. So the tank does not overfill, because that would be like too much information. Actually, what I do, I try to flush it a lot. You know, I flush it for about a minute or so. You know, my sensors are not accurate, so I have no idea how full it is. I more or less wing it, you know, I have 28 tanks. How much poop can you really fit in there? So I figure it. So before I do my final dump, and even then, after that, I usually flush it with the outside flush, but I just try to fill it with water as much as possible, and it does really help. Anyways, now for that being taken care of, all the that unpleasant. My second least favorite part of RVing. We have some Nomad News. You know who's back? We haven't seen him in a while. Wanderlust Estate. But there's not really much to tell. He's just working in San Diego, California. And we found out that he and Carolina, his girlfriend, they like seafood. Crabs and mussels. So, well, great on them. I'm glad he's doing fine. And I did interview him a few months back here for the podcast. Now, other Nomad News, my patron and friend Eric, and he's a patron of the YouTube channel and the podcast, of course. He's starting his YouTube channel. He's trying to reach 100 subs so he can make some changes to the channel. So yeah, check him out. He's just getting started, and I think he has a lot of potential in the channel. So besides that, there's really not much going on. I'm going through a little bit of a burnout with YouTube here these days, perhaps because I'm editing too much video. I'm trying to post 2 videos per week, and it's taking a toll. As a conclusion, I would like to thank my new patrons, Michael Klockner with $1. I've got Bruce Moore, which just changed his pledge from $1 to $2. And I got a $10 pledge from Dalila Oroz, and a $10 pledge from Dania, and $5 pledge from Brent Hayworth. And I want to thank you all profoundly, the new patrons and the old patrons always, for your support. And if you want to support the work that I do, especially the podcast, which really it doesn't make any money, is by going to patreon.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. Just go to travelingrobert.com/podcast/0055, or just go patreon.com/travelingrobert. And of course, you can also support the show by going to freeinmyrv.com. And you know, I have stickers, and I have my music CD for sale. All the music that I compose for my videos is there, most of it anyways. And I'm selling t-shirts there as well. And that's all I am going to plug today. As always, I want to thank you all so much for listening. And see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. See you next week. Oh, before I forget, I did compose a quick intro for my New Mexico videos, and well, here it is.